Hey there, it's Paula here. I just wanted to let you know that I have a brand new free live masterclass coming up to help you to shoot smarter, not harder. And that's with personal brand mini sessions. Now, I have had so much success in running these mini sessions that I want to share with you how you too can optimize your time and really streamline your energy to help you to make more in your business. And this is by generating nearly a month's worth of income in one single shoot day. So if you want to learn how to do that, my friend, make sure you jump in because these masterclasses are only going to be live just for a couple of days. So it's paulabrennaneducation.com/mini-masterclass. That again is paulabrennaneducation.com/mini-masterclass. And I'll also pop a link into the show notes for this episode for you so you can jump in live and learn for free with me. I'll see you in there. Welcome, welcome, friend, to the business of personal brand photography. My name is Paula Brennan. I am your host and I am delighted because this is the 75th episode of this podcast, which I think is pretty cool, pretty proud of myself. And I thought for this episode, what we would do is we would go back in time just a little bit. Now, this sort of topic idea came out of an interview that I did for another podcast, and it was something that the podcast interviewer actually pulled out, and it's something that I've found myself saying but over and over, but I don't know that I've necessarily like fleshed it out too much, but I thought me doing this, it might resonate with you. Now hang in there with me because this is really a long way of me coming around to a bit of a marketing insight for you. Okay, so stick with me because I'm going to take you on a little journey, but it's one that I think you'll understand when we get to the end of this why I'm sharing this with you. Now, as I said, I want to take you back in time. So I'm going to take you back to my very first wedding that I went along to. And this was going alongside of my dad and playing assistant for him. So just previous to this, I'd actually lived overseas for 3 years. I'd actually studied over there as well. And I'd backpacked on my way back through with my partner at the time. I'd backpacked through Europe with him. So when we got back to Australia, we actually had zero money. And at the time, my dad was a very busy and very in-demand wedding photographer in our area. So I decided to give it a go, to give it a crack and go along and be his assistant. And I'm going to be really honest here and very, very transparent. When I studied overseas, I actually studied acting, in particular theater. And I think I was very resigned to the fact when I was young that I was probably going to spend a good bit of time out of work. And so I needed to find some supplementary income in order to support me. And so this is where I decided, hey, look, this is easy. It's easy money. I needed the cash. I was a bit broke after backpacking through Europe. And so I decided to go along and start kind of assisting my dad. Now, when I showed up to this very first wedding, it was actually a girl that I had been in school with. In fact, we were friends in primary school. She was in the year above me, but we had composite classes. So she was actually in one of my classes 1 year. So we were actually quite good friends. I had been to her house when we were younger, and we actually went on to go to the same high school as well, but we weren't really as close there. But it did kind of spin me out a little that a girl that I went to school with was now a grown-up and she was getting married. I thought this was so far off for me because I'd come from living overseas and backpacking. It just seems so grown up, I'm going to say. And even though I did have a very serious boyfriend who I was traveling with and who I'd lived with, it just seemed way out of my league at the time. However, in just a few short years of working with my dad in the business, acting went to the wayside and I started, falling in love with particularly Photoshop and photography. A few of my friends then got engaged. And when I finally bought my family's business, so it wasn't long, it was, I bought it from my folks in 2004. At that time, I myself was engaged. Okay. So at this stage now, I'm planning out my own wedding. So for the first 3 years, I would say, in my business, I was all about weddings and wedding talk in and out of work. I was planning my own wedding. I love talking about all things weddings. I love talking to my brides about where they were getting married and where the receptions were and I was like, it was my real life experience at the time, right? And it was one that I was super passionate about. And then a few years later, my daughter came along, okay? And of course, most of my previous wedding clients at this stage now were starting to have babies too. So I myself decided then, and I started to capture more babies. I started doing pregnancies, and then I started doing young families as those kids and my daughter were growing up, right? So it's sort of like, you know, sort of similar stages, you could say. Now, these clients were my peers at the same time, right? So I would love nattering about all things babies. I could talk about all the things that I was going through and the sleep deprivation and the formulas and the different types of, baby toys and all of the things. The conversation was endless because they were my peers. But this family season for me, my business, was a short season in my life, okay? The weddings were still the bread and butter for me, but I enjoyed and of course welcomed the pregnancy and babies, but just for that short season when my clients were my peers because we were living the same experiences. But as soon as my daughter was a toddler, I started sending the babies to a local photographer friend because I wasn't changing nappies anymore and I didn't really want to deal with others who were. Now, I know that sounds a little bit harsh, but it's just my truth, okay? So I was never huge into shooting babies. It was just that tiny short season for a couple of years when I was going through the same experience. And I've only got one child, so I only did it once. And my best friends, we all had our kids around the same ages. And so we were all kind of like in it together. And so I kind of welcomed that into my business for that season. But then after that, I just chose to focus again on the weddings. Yeah. So I personally got married at 27. It was kind of, I was youngish for one of my peer groups, for my Irish traveling friends, but for my local Aussie friends that I went to school with, I was sort of around the same time. And so by the time I got into my early 30s and I was still, you know, I was still shooting weddings, they were still my peers. Okay. So I was still happy shooting weddings sort of during that time. But then my marriage broke down and I started to feel a little bit burnt out by weddings, yeah? I still loved them. I still loved the couples. I still loved the experience of capturing people's weddings. But on my own with a small child, I started feeling a little bit like I was looking for other options. I was feeling overwhelmed. The wedding hours and the social kind of aspect of it didn't really suit my new direction. And I started looking for other options of things to do. And if you've listened to this podcast before, you'll know that the incredibly beautiful and amazing Sue Bryce came into my world. And she introduced me to how empowering and how transforming studio style, or you could call it glamour portraits. I think we all know that kind of brand of sort of portraits that Sue's into. She showed me that, and she showed me how amazing an experience it could be for women who were just like me, who were feeling maybe like they needed a lift in themselves. Maybe they'd come through a rough patch. Maybe they felt like they'd had a personal transformation or perhaps a sickness. And she introduced me to that world, to those people, to, you know, to opening my business up to be able to create those kind of experiences. So then I decided, and I look back now, I spent my 30s pursuing this with the same passion that I did with weddings during my 20s. I loved spending time taking, you know, talking with the women, chatting about all of the interesting self-help books that they were reading, yoga retreats that they'd done, cleanses that they were doing, movies that they loved, artists that they followed, bands that they went to, all of it, yeah? Now, I loved all of that experience. I loved making them feel confident in themselves. I loved treating them to a day out. I loved, I loved the whole idea of like playing with my makeup team. Like that, we just had such great chemistry and banter on these sorts of shoots. And yeah, as a team, we worked hard. But now we all actually reflect on how fun those shoots were. Like, I mean, we were exhausted at the end of some of those shoot days, particularly when we were doing like a lot of back-to-back shoots. But it was an amazing experience and we loved it. Now, sure, some of the shoots were emotional. Some of them were hard, and I'm going to say particularly when like hubbies and kids were involved. But again, a lot of it just felt like hanging out with girlfriends, because at the time during my 30s, a lot of my clients were my peers, yeah? So many of my clients, they were like parents of my daughter's school friends. I even captured a couple of the teachers along the way. My peer group was actually my clients at the time, similarly to what it was when I was down in the weddings in my 20s, right? Now, fast forward to where I am now, and I've spent like pretty much my 40s, and I'm only halfway through, but I've spent the majority of my 40s with personal brand clients, and they are, again, just like me. Most are 40 and above. They're equally, if not more, obsessed about their business as I am. They're really equally and as more obsessed about helping others as I am. And we could, and sometimes we do, talk all day about it, right? All day about everything. I've talked a bit about this on my podcast before about maybe growing out of your photography business. I definitely dealt with that in episode 64. So if you want to maybe tune into that conversation, that might be another good episode for you to listen to. But I think that this is really interesting to observe, right? That I've literally grown up with my photography business. Yeah. I've changed genres to adapt to who my peers were, right? So that my peers were my clients along the way. And I've had many clients who've actually grown with me. My gorgeous wedding clients whose weddings I captured when they were spring chickens, they came back for their babies, they came back for their families. Many of them came back for glamour portraits. And, you know, they came in and had beautiful makeover portraits with the women in their lives, be it their mums and their sisters, not necessarily even their husbands. And many of the glamour portraits who I did, you know, they came on to become regulars now at my minis and my social sessions, and they're, you know, in their businesses, and that's how that relationship grew. And so I just think it's really cool, right? I think it's really cool to look back on this as a journey, because I got a little bit of flack when I did decide to quit weddings. It used to be a little bit of a running joke that I would change my mind in my business, or I would change my business model. And I know a lot of my friends and people around me, you know, would probably question some of my decisions. They'd be like, oh my gosh, she's, you know, completely changing the business. But now with a bit of hindsight and reflection, I think it just simply makes sense, doesn't it? Right? Like, it just makes sense that as I grew in my business, that obviously the kind of people that I wanted to work with changed as well. I mean, as I grew in my life, my interests and maybe some of my peers and my friendship groups changed and developed and adapted, and, you know, people would be there for a season. So it sort of makes sense to me that this would be the same in the way that you would offer my services, right? Now, you might ask, okay, Paula, why did you share this? Well, I think I had two reasons. Firstly, I think it's natural as creatives to want to make changes, to perhaps challenge or extend ourselves, to maybe get, you know, a little bit, you know, get curious about offering different things and maybe not wanting to sort of be in the same space for a long period of time. Of course, you want to become an expert, but I think it's very natural for us as creatives to want to just sort of stretch your wings a little bit and try different things. And of course, at the same time, it is natural for people around you to want you to stay the same and to want to try and keep you safe by making sure that you're not stepping outside of your comfort zone. So I think that that's sort of one reason, and maybe me sharing this, I wanted to kind of maybe give you permission to make changes if you're thinking of making changes in your business, because I know sometimes it's easy to get, we're creatives, it's easy to get stuck sometimes and feel like you're, you know, treading the same thing if you're kind of doing the same thing over and over and over and just wanting to change it up. So I think that's the first reason why I wanted to share in this podcast. But the second one, and I think this is the main reason why I wanted to share with you, is that your best clients are most likely right in front of you, all around of you, or even just one degree of separation away. And what did I mean by that? Like, I mean, when I say one degree of separation away, they could be friends of friends or people that, you know, like I was saying, like my daughter's teachers, you know, those sorts of relationships that, you know, that are not super strong. They're not like they're my friends, but they're sort of, you know, close in my world. They're in my vicinity. And I think that oftentimes when you're marketing, it is easy to think that you've got to go way outside of your comfort zone or your people zone, I guess, your area of zone. And oftentimes your clients are sitting right in front of you. They're just there. Now, when you're doing marketing, and, you know, I talk about this, I teach this inside of my programs as well, there's always a lot of talk about your niche client or your ideal client avatars. However, I am a walking example in business that your ideal client avatar is most likely you, right? Ding. Your ideal client is most likely just like you, yeah? I can look back now and I can say, and with full transparency and full honesty, at every stage, I've had very similar buying habits. I've had very similar behaviors and lifestyle and values to most of my clients. And so alongside of offering like, you know, great photography, of course, I think that being at similar life stages with similar interests and kind of like speaking the same language, I think that's always been really helpful to being the obvious choice for my clients. So I hope that in sharing all of this with you, you might have kind of understood. I'm not trying to be too self-indulgent and tell you all about my life. That wasn't the purpose of this episode. I just really want you to see that a lot of the time when you're looking to do marketing, especially I think, you know, as women, it's much easier to sort of look at ourselves and go, what would I like? What do I want? And how can I go and create marketing language and experiences and, you know, journeys that people can go on with you that you yourself would like to indulge in or you would like to buy? Because you are most likely your ideal client. And I want to say right now, run hard with this. Now, of course, if you need help with this sort of stuff, I do have programs. So please don't think that I'm going to leave you hanging here with this. Inside of Behind the Business, which is our signature course, I do actually delve a lot into this style of work in helping you to really not only uncover who your ideal client is, but also get your own personal brand languaging. That's definitely something that we go knee deep in into that program. So if you're keen, maybe have a look at Behind the Business and just see if it might be a good solution for you, because not only do we dip into this sort of stuff, we go right into like all of the business side setup of your business. So it's a really, really comprehensive course that will teach you not only how to shoot and capture, but also how to manage the business aspect of personal branding. So my friend, I hope that you've enjoyed this episode today. Yes, it was a little bit self-indulgent, me running into my own backstory, but I'm hoping that it might give you a little bit of inspiration and direction on how to kind of navigate when it comes to marketing to get your kind of ideal clients coming through the door. I'll catch you on the next episode.